Stargate Fancast, episode number 11. Warning, there will be spoilers after the news part. This is your first warning. A second one will appear later, but this is definitely a spoiler episode. Hey guys, and welcome to the newest episode of the Stargate Fancast. This week lined up for you, we got news, which deals with the new things with Amanda Tapping, Jewel State, which many of you may know as Kaylee from Firefly, some stuff to do with Pewter, and a special exclusive from GateWorld.net. Now let's go to a promo, and we'll come back with the news.
Hi, I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
And we're...
Actually, he would be an IBM compatible. Technically, you're both PCs because you're both personal computers used at home.
What's this?
I'm a Linux box, and I'm obviously much superior to both of you noobs.
You got this?
Absolutely.
I'm a Mac.
And I'm a PC.
My motherboard!
And we can work together now.
Welcome back. Now for the news. Veteran comedic actor Fred Willow will be playing Vala Maldoran's father in an upcoming episode of Stargate SG-1, TV Guide is reporting. The Internet Movie Database lists this episode as Family Ties. Born in Ohio, 67-year-old Willard is known for a huge range of films and television, including Salem's Lot, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Mad About You, Everybody Loves Raymond, and just about every film by Christopher Guest. Little is known about the plot of Family Ties, which is expected to air in late May or early June in the U.S. as Season 10's 18th episode. Season 2 of Stargate Atlantis is slated to come out March 6, 2007. Order the 5-disc set today at Amazon.com. SG-1 returns to sci-fi in April. Stargate SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis will make their triumphant return to the U.S.'s sci-fi channel with new episodes in April. TV Guide announced last week and the network confirmed today. SG-1 will air its final 10 episodes on Friday nights, with Atlantis finishing out its third season with another 10 episodes. Season 4 of Stargate Atlantis is expected to make a summer premiere on sci-fi, though no premiere date has yet been confirmed. And the two series will be joined on Fridays by the premiere of sci-fi's new original series, Painkiller Jane, based on the cable network's 2005 original miniseries starring Christiana Loken. The series tells the story of a woman with the power to heal herself who is recruited by a covert government organization. Battlestar Galactica will move to Sunday nights starting January 21st, where sci-fi will pair it with the series premiere of The Dresden Files, based on the best-selling novels by Jim Butcher. Learn more about the upcoming episodes of Stargate SG-1 and Stargate Atlantis in GateWorld Season 10 and Season 3 episode guides. Stargate Atlantis' newest recurring guest star is ready for the show's fourth season, which enters production this February in Vancouver, British Columbia. Jewel State recently discussed her casting on the series and her new character at her blog. But where are the spoilers for the second half of Season 3? State will reportedly play Dr. Keller, a brilliant young medical doctor in Season 4. The show's need for a new doctor following the disappearance of Dr. Carson Beckett late in the current season. I know it's finally been revealed that Paul McGillion is leaving the show, State wrote to fans, and since I'm coming on the show, a lot of you have it in your heads that I'm replacing him. First of all, our characters are quite different from each other, and I'm not a regular cast member, and I've also signed on to do a certain number of episodes. Not 15, or at least that was news to me when I heard that on the internet. One thing that I should tell you is that Paul and I are very close friends. He lives 3 blocks away from me in my mom's building. How weird and random is that? And we see each other all the time. I can honestly say he's one of the sweetest and most lovely people to do work with. The crew of Atlantis raves about it, and I really just adore him. State would not reveal anything about the plot development that led to Carson Beckett's absence next season, but did express her own excitement over joining the show. I can't comment on why in terms of his character's absence in the next season, she said. But the best thing about sci-fi is nothing is forever. I'm really excited about coming on to Atlantis and playing another progeny, genius mechanic to genius doctor. I'm truly moved up in the world. Maybe next time I'll play the president. State played the brilliant young ship mechanic Kaylee Fry in the short-lived Fox series Firefly, and in the movie based on it, Serenity. Just please have an open mind and don't hate me. It's not my fault, she added. I'm just an actor who jumped on the chance to work with a really fun cast in my favorite city, mine, and play a young smarty pants MD with a cool uniform. Can you blame me? New episodes of Stargate Atlantis return to US this April. Keep your browser locked on GateWorld for the latest developments. Now for the story you've all been waiting for. Exclusive, third Stargate series in development. Prepare to step through the gate all over again. A third television series in the hit Stargate franchise is now in development, GateWorld has learned. A production source informs GateWorld that the new series is in the concept phase and is being actively worked on by the Vancouver creatives behind SG-1 and Atlantis. No concept for the show has yet been revealed. The third series is also not likely to be rushed into production for a 2007 premiere in order to replace SG-1, which takes its final bow with 10 new episodes this spring. Instead, a premiere in 2008 or later is more likely for at this point. Note that at this time, in the fall of 2003, Stargate Atlantis is well into casting, script writing, and set building to make a July premiere date. Following the success of the 1994 film Stargate, Stargate SG-1 debuted in 1997 and spun off Stargate Atlantis in 2004. The two shows returned to Sci-Fi Channel in the U.S. with new episodes. It's this April. The spring run of 10 episodes each will mark the series finale of SG-1 and the third season finale of Stargate Atlantis. Stargate Atlantis returns for its fourth season later in 2007. Meanwhile, SG-1 will continue with 2 movies, presumably direct-to-DVD, currently aiming for a fall 2007 release. Stick with GateWorld for full coverage of the third Stargate series as news develops. And that'll all about cover it for the news. We'll be back with spoilers with Atlantis if you've seen it. So if not, tune out now or skip to the end and get the contact information. Thanks for joining us.
In March 2006, the Seventh Son thriller trilogy began. 7 human clones were ripped away from their normal lives to stop a conspiracy created by their ruthless progenitor, a man codenamed John Alpha. Now, a new adventure awaits John, Father Thomas, Kilroy 2.0, and the other beta clones. The world is hours away from a nuclear attack. The Vice President is an agent of evil. And John Alpha lives on and possesses technology that can make anyone, anywhere, a puppet of his wrath. To prevent the next phase of Alpha's scheme, John and the others must face the horrors of betrayal, race cross-country to track their nemesis, and discover that the bloodshed they've witnessed is merely a prelude to the world-rending destruction to come. Seventh Son, Book 2, Deceit, is the new novel in the hit audiobook series by J.C. Hutchins. Join more than 11,000 listeners who currently tune in each week to hear new chapters and cliffhangers, as well as special appearances by best-selling authors Robert J. Sawyer, Mike Resnick, Tracy Hickman, Jeff Loeb, Mark Waid, and chart-topping podcasters Keith and the Girl, Scott Sigler, Mer Lafferty, The Crew from The Signal, and exclusive readings by film director and editor Patrick Lussier and Nathan Fillion, star of Firefly and Serenity. Become a part of the Seventh Son experience. Find Seventh Son Book 2 Deceit and Book 1 Descent at jchutchins.net and at podiobooks.com.
Welcome back. Now we'll be discussing the second half of Season 3 of Stargate Atlantis, starting with its first episode, The Return Part 2. Now, I found this rather interesting in how they carried it off and with the ARGs appearing. What I mean by how they carried it off is the plan and stuff, and how they went back in time. It seemed like maybe like 10 or 15 minutes in Atlantis, and then had it where the season ended with our heroes in the Pegasus Galaxy coming into Atlantis and went through that, and then they went and got the replicator body. And also the explosive device, which I found very peculiar, being as that this is a plot point that was never hit on in the earlier two, of that they never got an explosive device, and they never created one while they were there talking with Taylor or anyone. So the question then stands, where did they get this device? I'm sure it might be explained later or something like that, but I find it interesting. It was very fun to have the comic relief of O'Neill and Picardo. I forgot his name. I only remember the actor's name, Richard Picardo. And if you've watched enough, I'm sure Richard Woolsey. And Woolsey's portrayal with him being very confused and not knowing what was going on was extremely funny. And very interesting. I believe that I'll go into all of these more in depth when they become openly available in April to everyone. But until that point comes, I believe we'll want to keep this kind of short. We also have the second episode in this second half, which is... Hold on a second, let me look this up. Echoes. Dealing with the creature that helped save McKay earlier on in this season, I believe. Last season, excuse me. And it's very interesting with what happens and with the agents appearing and things. And also that Taylor was the first one to notice this, which I think is something that really might want to be pointed out at, well, not want to be, but will be pointed out at some later point, is that maybe there's some ancient DNA inside of the Wraith, because this was things done by the ancients, and even if she was in a meditative state, there has to be some reason why she got it so early, and was found, and noticed it being first in that. And the episode as a whole I found to be really interesting and, you know, quite good. By Carl Binder. Now, if I'm correct, Binder is the one who did The Return Part 2. And some of the other favorite SG episodes, along with The Real World and Progeny. So, no real surprise there. And, you know, I found it all in all quite good. The next episode to air was Irresponsible, with the return of Lucius Lovin and his character. And he has the personal shield emitter in it, and with what happens there, I found it quite interesting and very, very good in a whole. Also, the death of Kolya was very, very surprising. And, you know, at the beginning I believed that it was just filler episode, but as it went on and throughout the episode, I found it that it definitely was not. This one, written by Joseph Malozzi and Paul Mulley, more classic people who did this. Now, after this came 3/14, which was Sunday. Now, what's interesting, though, in Canada, is that this airs this week, and by the time I post this, should be out for anyone to fly up to Canada and watch it. But they skipped that for some reason and switched it up with 3/15, which is the Tao of Rodney, wherein Rodney gets some crazy brain powers and kind of ends up a thing like with the Ancient Archive in the SG-1 universe. Another thing with this that I think will definitely pop up in later seasons. This run written by Damian Kindler. From what I see, definitely a pro in the SG-1 circuit with 25 episodes, one of which, well, two, many of which the fan favorites of Crusade, Babylon, and Citizen Joe, Reckoning, Origin, Beachhead, one of my personal favorites, Prototype, and Ethon, and also Off the Grid, where we see my personal favorite weapon in the SG-1 SGA universe, the MP7. And I think this just about covers it for this part. I think it'll probably be a short episode this week, so I might be throwing a recording in at the end for you guys. So let's go off to another promo, and we'll come back with the rest of the show.
I'm Brad.
I'm Glenn.
And I'm Christina.
And we're from the Pod Culture Podcast and podculture.net.
When you're done here and you find yourself hungry for some more geeky goodness, head on over and check us out at podculture.net and at our forums located at bluegrassbrowncoats.net.
From A-plus shows to grade Z movies and everything else in between, like comics and video games, we'll be rambling on about whatever happens to be going on in our geek worlds.
With segments like What's in Your DVD Player, Brad's Rants, and Geek Cuisine, along with the occasional special musical guest, there's something for the geek in us all.
So let your geek flag fly and head on out to our little corner of the verse.
www.podculture.net.
Pod Culture, equal opportunity geekness.
Be seeing you.
Okay, so you know what? I looked at our timestamp and found that we are going rather low for this episode. So I decided I would throw in an interview here with Kate Hewlett, the sister of David Hewlett, Rodney McKay, who also plays his sister in the episode McKay and Mrs. Miller. Very good episode, very interesting interview. Contact information for this episode, we have comments enabled on our Podomatic site. That would be http://StargateFanCast.podomatic.com. Our voicemail line is 206-888-4561. Now, I do suggest that you call into our voicemail line, being that the only one that I've gotten so far is this.
I'm talking to Grandma. Grandma? Yeah. Meet me in the mall. You want me to meet the mall? Cookie Tata. So good. Call him back.
Fan fiction contest going until the 11th of January, so get that fan fiction in. Also, if you have promos for your podcast, I'd be happy to play them. Just send them to me at zb1991@gmail.com. So I think that about does it. We now have the interview with Kate Hewlett, and goodbye. See you guys next week. Thanks a lot for listening. Hasta luego.
GateWorld.net presents an exclusive interview with Kate Hewlett.
I solved your problem in my spare time. With finger paints.
Jeannie Miller on Stargate Atlantis.
For GateWorld.net, I'm David Reed, and I'm on the telephone with the lovely Kate Hewlett. Kate, thanks for taking some time with us this afternoon.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm going to get this right out of the way, if you don't mind, because it's so significant and because everyone within earshot is thinking about it. You're David Hewlett's sister. What the heck is that like?
It's terrible. What's it like? Well, it's wonderful.
He's really,
he's fantastic.
Mm.
He's very silly, and he's wonderful to work with, and he was great to grow up with. He's very mean to me, but I dish it back at him, I think. So
now, is he the older brother?
Yes, he's 9 years older.
9 years older? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So it's not like one or two where you guys were at each other's throats?
Not at all.
Oh, no. Okay.
So he's the eldest, and I'm the youngest.
Oh, okay.
So he sort of, he focused his cruel intentions on my other sisters, and then they focused theirs on me. So we've always been okay.
Good. Great.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you wanted to have a shot on Atlantis?
I never even considered it.
Really?
To be a possibility. Because his career has always been very separate from mine.
Really?
And it was about a year ago that he first mentioned the possibility to me.
Really?
Because Martin Garrow had seen a play that I was in.
Yes.
And had said to David that we were very similar in the way we moved our hands and the way we spoke and that sort of thing. And so he got the idea. And that's when I first heard about it, and I still thought, that's very nice, but there's no way.
It won't happen.
Yeah, I just didn't imagine that it would actually happen.
Mm.
So it was really exciting that it actually did.
Okay. Martin has spoken with us on several occasions, but he has never talked about this play that Brendan directed that is responsible for pulling you into Atlantis. Can you tell us about it?
It's actually very funny because the show that he came to see was, I think it was during the Fringe Festival, so there are shows at, in the morning and at 11 o'clock at night and all different show times.
Uh-huh.
And this particular show that he saw, it was, the play was called Head Smashed in Buffalo Jump. And Brendan had directed it. And that particular show, I don't know what happened, but I was just extra nervous or something, and I was really stuttering a lot.
Oh.
And I said that to Brendan afterwards. I was like, I feel like I had a different kind of show tonight. And apparently Martin Garrow had said to him how similar David and I were, and it was just so funny because... Because David tends to do sort of the stuttery acting as well, and it was, it actually helped me out on that occasion, I think.
So not only were you playing Hewlett that night, you were kind of playing a McKay.
I was, a little bit. I was having a McKay show.
Now, did you know that they were in the audience?
I didn't.
No. Okay. That's interesting,
Martin
then.
Afterwards.
All right. I'll be darned.
Huh. I didn't plan it.
So David first mentioned to you about a year ago that there was a possibility that they could bring the character in at some point. Was that the first time you found out that the character existed? Because it was actually 2 years ago that it was his fault for switching it from a brother to a sister.
You know what? He did tell me that.
Okay.
I remember, I just thought it was sort of a cute story, though.
Right.
I didn't think it would amount to anything, but I do remember him telling me that he was supposed to have a brother, and he said, is it okay if I change that to sister?
Yeah.
And they were fine with that, and, I just thought it was cute, but I didn't think that it would actually happen.
Okay, okay. Do you watch the show?
I do now.
Well, that's an honest answer.
We don't get the current season here.
Okay. So, you're in Toronto.
Yeah, I'm in Toronto.
Okay.
So it was difficult enough to see this episode.
Right.
But I've been watching, when I went to Vancouver for the first time to do A Dog's Breakfast.
Yes.
I watched a few episodes then, and I think I've probably seen maybe about 5 episodes.
Wow.
In total.
Okay.
But I really like it.
Okay.
I actually do.
What are your particular favorites in terms of episodes that you saw? Which stand out as you being your favorites?
I loved... Was it Duet? Is that the name of it?
Yes.
The one with the...
The where David multiple was, personalities.
Yes. I adored that one. And I just saw the one where he was in the... where he was trapped in the puddle jumper.
Grace Under Pressure.
I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
I think that was my favorite one.
He did a good job with that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, and I think Amanda and David are so fantastic to watch together. So I really enjoy that dynamic a lot.
And then you got thrown into the mix of it.
I did, yeah.
Starting out as a novice in tech. Yes. Yeah, in techno-babble ease with
yes,
two of
absolutely.
The biggest pros in Stargate. That must have been a challenge.
Well, it was hilarious because really there was just one scene that had a ton of technobabble.
Right.
And I got the schedule ahead of time and I thought, oh, it's fine. It's on the second or third day.
Uh-huh.
And then I got there and they had changed the schedule.
Right.
So this, the very first scene was the scary technobabble scene. And I hadn't slept as well.
Oh, no.
Took the red eye and flew to Vancouver. And, so it was very challenging, but really fun.
Right.
And they were, you know, Amanda and David were so... I'm so glad it was them.
Really?
That were the first two people I worked with, because they were just so at ease with each other. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she joined in making fun of me. Like old times.
Isn't she great?
Oh, she's lovely. Yeah. She really is.
From your take as her portrayer, who is Jeannie Miller?
Who is Jeannie Miller? I think that Jean is an incredibly smart woman who had the opportunity to be probably a very famous scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And she chose a normal life. She chose to raise a family and mm-hmm. be in love and live a normal life, not the life that McKay is living.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a very strong choice.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that she's very, very smart. And I think that her relationship with her brother, I think she's a bit bitter about
yeah.
how things turned out.
Yeah.
I think that's where some of the teasing comes from, that sort of thing, because they clearly do get along well, even though there's a lot of banter, but I think they really love each other, and I think that she's very bitter about the fact that he abandoned her, essentially, because of one of her life choices.
Hadn't spoken with her in 4 years.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I think she's pretty hurt, but she's not the type of person that wants to show that.
Right.
She likes to show the tough side instead.
Yeah, exactly. I think I read somewhere, or I had an interview somewhere, where McKay actually felt that she had the potential to be even smarter than he was. And he, uncharacteristic of McKay, he wasn't jealous of that as much as he was eager to get that strength to be able to serve mankind, to get that strength out there to help humanity. And when she
yeah.
made her choice, he was taken completely aback.
Yeah.
So I think that's where that comes from. What was your reaction when you found out Brendan would be playing your husband?
I was thrilled.
Really?
Yeah, I was so excited. It added to the sort of dreamlike nature of the entire experience. because, you know, we got to enjoy that together. We got to be in Vancouver and just thinking, what is going on?
Yeah.
Everyone else is in their element, and we just were so confused. And it was so much fun to work with him. I've worked with him, I guess, two or three times
okay.
in theater.
Okay.
And we worked together really well. So it was nice to work with someone that I could really relax with. And
right.
There's none of that getting to know him or anything. You know, I was already meeting so many new people and working with so many new people.
Right, exactly.
So it was really nice to have him there.
It's nice the person that you were having to be in bed with, in the bedroom with, was someone that you knew relatively well.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Okay. If you could change anything about that episode, would you?
No, I thought it was a great episode. I think in a way it would be sounds terrible, but I wish it was longer.
Really?
It would be fun if it could have been a two-parter,
mm-hmm.
because I think all the stuff with the alternate universe Rod mm-hmm. was really interesting
mm-hmm.
and gave a lot of insight into Rodney's character,
mm-hmm.
Meredith's character.
Mm-hmm.
but it would have been interesting to see more of how Jeannie affected Rodney and how Jeannie's presence on Atlantis made a change in him.
Yeah.
So it was, I think both things were nice, but it was almost an episode with three McKays
mm-hmm.
instead of two.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Yeah, I think there was room there for even more development with those two.
Okay.
But I think that Rod was definitely necessary, and I really liked that element of the episode. That was sort of the, there needed to be the sci-fi side of it. It couldn't just be a story about
Right. He was a plot device, yeah.
Right, right.
Okay.
So I really liked that, but I would have loved to have seen more of the relationship between Jeannie and Rodney.
Okay. You say you can't get season 3 yet. Have you managed to see the episode completed?
Yes, I actually did get a copy of.
Okay,
of
good.
The episode.
Okay,
yeah.
Great. Does anything
Martin
from that? Yeah, from Martin. Right.
Yeah.
Does anything from that production, either on or off screen, stand out in your mind in particular?
From the entire experience of,
right.
of the episode,
from the whole thing.
I have to say that Hermiod made a real impression. People have been commenting on my expression when I was looking at it, but I think it was real. I was that was all part of the first day.
Oh my god!
The first day was just a whirlwind. It was crazy. It you know like I the set is incredible, and so you feel
yes.
like you're actually on the Daedalus.
Yes.
In Atlantis, so it was. It was just a crazy day, but that was part of it that just, yeah, he blew my mind. I couldn't
mm-hmm.
believe it. He has a little pulse.
He has a pulse.
He has a pulse and veins. And
yes.
Amazing. It was amazing.
Well, for someone who hasn't watched Stargate from the beginning to be standing in front of this little silicone alien,
yeah.
that must have been a trip.
I'm in E.T. Every child's dream. Yeah, it was, and also, I mean, the entire experience, I came away with so many different stories and memories
mm-hmm.
and all that, but the cast and the crew are remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much fun, and everyone was so nice.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually something else that would have been nice would be to work with the other cast members more.
Right.
Because the episode was so focused on David and I.
Right.
I did get to work with David Nickel quite a bit, and he was great.
Yes.
Very funny. But
yes.
I didn't get to work with, I didn't get to work with Paul at all.
Right. He wasn't in the episode.
With Rachel and Joe and Tori and Jason, I think it was just one day.
Okay.
So I didn't get to know those characters too much, but...
Right.
But they were really fun to work with. Very, very silly. We had a very silly day.
Well, there's already an effort to get you back, which I'd like to talk about in a few moments.
Yeah.
This episode had to have been a very personal one. In what ways did the script hit you?
The scene near the end where I watched the video of David?
Yes, from Letters from Pegasus.
Yeah. That even just reading the script, that was a really powerful scene. Mm. And I really liked the ending, the way that they came together again. But actually, filming that scene was interesting because I had never seen that episode before.
Oh.
And Martin saved the video specifically so that I wouldn't have seen it before they shot it.
Oh, okay.
So the first time I saw it, I almost lost it.
And were they rolling tape?
Scene. Oh, yeah. They were shooting the scene, and I was watching the video, and everything started to make sense to me in a whole different way. Like I was watching David and I was thinking, God, my brother is on this amazing television series. He's a regular and he's so successful and he made it. And I'm actually here with him and I get to be a part of it for a week. And it just all started really hitting me. And so, and also he just acted that scene so beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I was trying not to cry because I didn't think I should in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right. Yeah.
And then when David came in and we were supposed to hug, I just started bawling my
eyes. Aww.
And my incredible instincts caused me to actually drop out of frame.
Oh, gosh.
I was so embarrassed.
Wow.
So David had a lot of fun with me after that because every time I did good work, he said, "Yeah, Kate, now you should just drop out of frame." So they can't use it. But I think they did end up using a lot of that take.
Mm.
A really smart move, I think, on Martin Wood's part.
Have you seen the rest of that episode?
No, I haven't.
You
I
should.
Want to now.
You should.
I get a copy of it from David.
Okay. Because yeah. That one scene in particular was very different from McKay for the rest of the episode. He had all these broad strokes of, you know, if they were going to die, this tape was going to get published, and he was going to talk about leadership and as McKay is, you know, he thinks he's the best in all this stuff. And in the end, he finally just said, okay, you know what, forget all that other stuff. If they don't print or send anything else out, I want this to go out to my sister. So that was a really strong scene, and
yeah.
You've got to see the whole thing.
I definitely will.
So.
Yeah.
Martin described you as having Hewlettisms. How...
I worked for years to get rid of them. It's not my fault.
How often could you go with your family's mannerisms? And how often did you have to adopt behaviors that David specifically made for the McKay character?
I would say that I'd like to take credit for my choices, but I think that a lot of the mannerisms are already there.
Okay.
And I think because Martin wrote the part with me in mind.
Right.
It was so great to play her because I just understood the character and could have fun with it. And I think, you know, the way she speaks relatively quickly and
mm-hmm.
the
mm-hmm.
way they have banter and all of that stuff. I think that just comes really naturally to both of us.
Okay, good.
So, yeah.
Just fit like a glove then.
Yeah.
Was it challenging working with two McKays, both from an effects standpoint and from Jeannie's emotional side?
I think from Jeannie's emotional side, it made it more difficult because she could see the way that her brother could have turned out.
Mm-hmm.
Just the way that Rodney sees that Jeannie could have been this amazing physicist.
Right.
And he's upset about her decision. She got to see the side of Rodney that was a more nurturing, more open,
yes.
more laid back
yes.
version of her brother.
Yes.
So I think that must have been difficult for the character.
Right.
But also, it meant that there was somebody else for her to side with against Rodney, which is always a bonus.
Who understood where she was coming from.
Yeah, yeah.
This alternate McKay, I mean, had pictures of her kids in his wallet, you know,
yeah.
and then she turns and sees this other, her actual brother, and it's like, ugh.
Yeah. from a special effects standpoint, yes. it was really difficult, but much more for David.
Okay. Yeah, right.
There were certain scenes where we were acting with no one.
Right.
So we had to make sure we were looking in exactly the same place. And that's fine if there's a tennis ball or something that you can talk to, but when you're moving,
yeah, the eye line is changing.
So a lot of the time we'd just do it over and over and over again until we were exactly looking in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was really interesting because it was only a couple of scenes, but
right.
You know, David had to do that a lot that week, and I think that was very challenging.
Right,
it was so specific.
Yeah, you must have been asking yourself, okay, when is he going to come unglued?
Yeah.
I don't think he'd ever done that before in terms of having a duplicate of himself.
No, so. I don't think he had either.
And that is not an easy thing to do. So.
It is not easy. And then we had a guy who was his double.
Right.
Who had to learn all the lines as well for both parts.
Oh, no.
But he was someone that hadn't acted before.
He
just looked a lot like David from the back.
Okay.
Poor guy.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I think that was a good challenge for him as well, having to learn tons and tons of text. And I think by the end of the week he's like, I want to be an actor. But yeah, so sometimes we had him, and then sometimes we just were working with a tennis ball on a stand, and you know, trying to.
Right.
And that we felt something for it. So that was very interesting.
The characters kept on referencing their dad. Is he alive? Is he dead? Where is this guy? What was the backstory to that?
Their dad? I don't know.
Okay.
I assumed.
Because he was always...
Their dad obviously died.
Oh, really?
We didn't talk about... I think so, yeah. That's what I got from the script.
Okay.
Because they said when they're fighting in the kitchen, David... oops.
That's okay.
McKay says it's not what Dad would have wanted or that sort of thing. So I definitely got the impression that their dad had died.
Right.
But we never talked about that, about how or when or any of that.
Right. But it seems like he knew their potential and
yes.
knew that there was trouble between them.
Yeah.
So,
I guess they're so similar that it's inevitable that there would be...
tension.
Some clashes, yeah.
What do you think of the success of McKay and Mrs. Miller? 89% of Gate World readers rated it with an 8 out of 10 or above.
Oh, that's great.
Unprecedented.
That's fantastic. I didn't know that.
Yes. Yes, we were... I couldn't believe it. It actually... the episode got more... poll hits than the SG-1 for that week did, which has never happened before.
I read that. That's very exciting.
Yes.
I'm so glad that people liked it because I thought the script was incredible, and I thought it was a great episode. But I knew that a lot of the fans had opinions about what it should be.
Oh yeah.
And what, you know, the character had been talked about for so long, and what she should be like, and what the story should be like and all that. So I'm really happy that people liked it and
yes.
that their expectations were met.
Right. Right. Which only fuels the chances that you'll be back. Martin has told us that he's already working on a way to have you back.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Great.
Hopefully not two genies. No more tennis ball.
You never know.
I'd love to go back. It was a blast.
You have your own blog.
I do.
In
it's
which
deadly.
Well, you come across as funny, intelligent, personable, and warm. Some of us were wondering if you got inundated with strange comments and lots of people reading it after the episode had aired.
I got inundated with strange comments before the episode.
Really?
Yeah. It was hilarious actually because the only reason I started a blog was so that I could post a mean comment on David. You can't be anonymous. So I went in to make fun of David, and then I was like, I know, I'll start a blog that's about my loft, because it's a crazy place to live.
Right.
And And so I started it. And then for about 2 days, I had, you know, a comment from my boyfriend, like one comment from my friend Lisa. And then on the third day, it was like 85 comments.
Wow.
And I guess somebody, I think maybe David even created a link to it on his on his blog.
Uh-huh.
So all of a sudden, I had all these comments, and I am just hooked now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, in all different languages. So I spent an entire day translating.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I speak a little bit of French and a little bit of Italian, so people are still occasionally writing in French, and that's great because I'm getting to practice.
Right.
But yeah, there was one day where I asked for as many languages as possible, and it was insane.
I'll be done. So,
it's fun though. People are really, really nice and really supportive, and it did spike a little bit after the episode.
Right.
And it's slowing down a bit now, but I was posting every day for a while now, and I've had to slow down. My eyes hurt.
We never would have guessed that you did it just to smite your brother at the beginning, because it really is good.
It's like he got his revenge. Because I'm just wasting hours of every day now.
Well, that character is an insanely popular one, and it has garnered him a lot of interest.
Yeah.
So I think it's only natural that would spew over to you a little bit, also playing a McKay.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you see yourself attending Stargate conventions at some point in the future?
I would love to, actually. There's on the blog, a couple of people suggested that I go to the one in London. I think the Pegasus, what's it called? Wolf Pegasus 2, I think?
Yes.
And that would be really cool. I'd love to do that because my sister's going to be moving to London. And,
oh, okay.
And I think David's going. And so I'm very interested in going to a convention. I think that would be a lot of fun.
Okay, great.
But I don't have any word on that yet.
Okay. Yeah. Rumor has it you're writing your own play?
Yes, I am. I finished my first play in the summer.
Really?
And had that produced at the Fringe Festival here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I've written, I think, 4 plays, but I sort of abandon them when I'm 3/4 of the way through.
Yes.
So the one in the summer was a big deal for me because I actually finished it, and it went really well. It was lots of fun.
So it was performed.
Yeah. Yeah, it was performed, and then we got extended. We got an extended run at another theater.
Oh, wow. Well, good for you.
Yeah. It was a fantastic experience.
Huh.
And it was a comedy, and I thought it was funny, but I didn't know if people would react that way. So.
Well, if it got extended.
Yeah.
Great.
It had a really fantastic reaction, and I gave myself a little part because I thought I didn't want to be an idiot and do too much.
Mm.
So I was on stage the whole time, but I didn't speak until about halfway through, which is actually terrifying.
Really?
And the first night, the play started, and the audience was like, wah, ha, 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 laughing their heads off, and it was amazing.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Huh. So
the one I'm doing right now is definitely not funny, but it's a combination of a few different Shakespearean tragedies.
Oh, really?
Adapting into a story about violence against young people today.
Really?
So, that's my new project.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I'll be darned. Well, good. Hope you post some more stuff on it.
Yeah.
So, for those of us who can't get up there to see it.
Yeah. No, I definitely will.
Tell us about working on A Dog's Breakfast. How enjoyable an experience was that?
That was completely different from Stargate, but
yes,
also a great experience. That was hilarious because David told me, I don't know if he didn't want me to have high expectations or something, but he told me we were going to shoot it in his house with
really?
A video camera and no budget, and that it was going to be, you know, me and Mars,
right,
and Paul McGillion. And I got there, and it was this insane, huge thing with all these amazing people working for free and, like, just, you know, locations and trailers and all the... It was amazing.
Mm.
And, again, the script was phenomenal. David's really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not only acting in it but directing and
right,
and he wrote it and all that. So it was very different from Atlantis because we weren't just working together as actors.
Uh huh.
But it was wonderful, really fun character, which he also wrote that part with me in mind.
Right.
But she was I think she was more of a stretch for me than Jeannie.
Tell us about that character.
She was lots of fun. She was a makeup artist.
Oh, makeup. Okay.
And somebody else just asked me actually to describe the character, and I said that she's me with better clothes.
Oh, really?
Me with a better fashion sense and nice makeup. but she's a little silly. She's a sillier character than Jeannie.
Okay.
But a very similar type of relationship between the brother and sister. And, again, a lot of banter. A lot of hitting, which I enjoyed. I get to slap him in the forehead, which I do in real life.
Oh.
When I run out of words. That's how I win the argument. that was great. It's the biggest role I've ever had in a movie.
Wow.
So it was just, like, huge learning experience for me and really fantastic.
What was the source of angst between the brother and sister in this production? I mean, I know that Paul's character provides some tension.
Yes. In A Dog's Breakfast, it's sort of David's character is a recluse. And
yes.
Decides that he doesn't want me to have a fiancé.
Well, good for him.
And absolutely loathes the guy that I've decided to marry. So that's a lot of where the tension comes from.
Mm.
But it seems like another brother-sister relationship where they've always had tension.
Mm-hmm.
But this is sort of day-to-day tension. It's not like they haven't spoken in 4 years or anything like that. They're certainly in contact with each other.
Right.
But they have a difficult relationship. And he just decides that he hates this actor who I'm... The one
mm-hmm.
he's a stuntman.
Mm-hmm.
With a yellow tan. And, he just decides to do nasty things to him.
Oh, no.
And I'll leave it at that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we're hoping to see it later on this year. So.
Yeah, I hope so.
Apparently it's...
It's been a rough cut, and it looks really great.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. What else do you have going on in your career right now?
At the moment, I'm just writing.
Okay.
And blogging. Religiously. I'm auditioning a lot. I do a lot of voiceover stuff.
Really?
To pay the bills.
Yeah.
Which is really fun. And I've got a play coming up in March, which is called Noble Parasites.
Noble Parasites.
Yes.
Okay.
Which is actually a sci-fi play.
Really?
Yeah. It's, do you know Julian Richings?
Doesn't ring any bells.
No, he's, you would definitely recognize his face. He was actually in X-Men 3.
Oh, okay.
And he was in Cube with David, and he was in Creed Murray.
Okay.
With David, but, he's in the play as well. And,
oh, really?
And a woman by the name of Amy Rutherford, who's fantastic.
Okay.
And it's a really great, wonderful script.
Okay, so this is next March.
Yeah, we begin rehearsals in March, and then it goes up in April at Theater Passmarais.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the theater over the sound stages?
They're incredibly different.
Mm.
I've done theater my whole life, so that's where I'm most comfortable. But I have to say, I'm really leaning towards TV and film right now.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about the intimacy of it and the fact that the characters are closer to home. Like with theater, I find that what I love about it is that, you know, I can play a million different things because you're not sort of limited to the way that you look.
Mm.
Whereas with film, often you end up playing someone that's a lot like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm realizing more and more is that there are still really subtle differences between all the characters, and I enjoy finding those.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have terrible nerves. I have terrible stage fright.
Really?
So it's great to discover a medium where that doesn't happen.
Right.
Where I get to do the same work but not be so nervous about it.
Okay. One of the big differences I've seen from doing both theater and some private film stuff is, for theater, you have to, everything is over-exaggerated to reach that audience who is sitting 50 feet away.
Right.
You know, from the makeup to the acting to the expression, whereas television and film is much more personal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can be more true to life in terms of the performance. So,
yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, I really enjoy that side of it.
Okay. Now, were you, as kids, were you all raised in the theater, or how did that work? Did you and
Not
David
at
just
all.
Really?
We were discouraged from it.
Really?
Yeah, my brother started acting quite young.
Really? Okay.
And I think my dad was worried about it. I think he was worried that we wouldn't be able to make a living as actors.
Right, yeah, well,
so,
yeah.
Which is true in a lot of cases.
Yeah, right.
He talked to me 3 years ago. Living off, like, cans of beans.
But love it.
So we were encouraged to do the arts in school,
mm-hmm.
but not professionally.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it was the hardest for David because he was the first one to make that choice.
Mm.
And then my sister actually did modeling for a little while. And
really?
And then so when I made the decision to get into film and TV and theater, I think my dad was a little more, he realized that it's possible.
Right.
It's possible to make a living that way.
Right. Okay. Well, if you love what you're doing, as long as you're happy.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, great.
And we all like doing other things as well. So it's that makes for a much more interesting life, I think, when you're an actor, but you also like to do other things like writing or writing music or whatever it is that keeps you going.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you can make your own work, it's so great because you're not waiting for the phone to ring.
Hello, I'm David Hewlett, and this is GateWorld.net, your complete guide to Stardate.
Wormhole disengaged.